Allison Harder with the Milestones Podcast. This is episode 59, and today I will be talking about weight-bearing activities. As therapists, I think we understand this concept so well that we forget it's not exactly common knowledge to the families that we work with. So I wanted to do a show about it to make sure we think about the reasons we encourage children to do weight-bearing activities and what the benefits are to doing them. Before I get into that, I wanted to mention that we have a new addition to the Community Resource Directory on my website. The owner of Sensible Connections, and I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce her name for sure, but it is spelled Y-R-M-A, which I would guess is Yrma Perdomo. She is an OT and neurodevelopmental specialist that is currently in Miami, Florida, but is in the process of moving her practice to Boulder, Colorado. In her practice, she specializes in children ages birth to 8 years. At Sensible Connections, they use a child's innate abilities to access brain neuroplasticity and help them reach their fullest potential. She mentioned to me that she is currently seeing clients in both Miami and Boulder. So you can find all of her information on my website at mymidwesttherapy.com and click on the Community Resource Directory tab at the top of the homepage. Keep checking the directory for more businesses that will be coming soon, and see the ones that are already listed. Now we have 2 OTs, 1 speech therapist, and 1 children's app. Anyone with a business somehow related to special needs with kids, or even adults who may need therapy or home modifications, should get on the directory and put your information out there. Since I'm still in the process of building the directory, I have the cost at a very reasonable price of $30 for a year. This is probably the cheapest place you will find to place an ad for your business. And I will do what I've done today and continue to encourage my listeners to get on the website and see who's on there. See who might be available as a resource in their area, or what I would also love to see are some online companies. I know there are a lot of businesses out there selling adaptive equipment, toys, weighted blankets, or autism awareness items, or other awareness items. Any of those things would be so great to have on the directory. Let's work together on this to create one place where people can go to find the resources that they're looking for. Okay, enough of all that for today. Now moving on to the topic of weight bearing. Keep in mind that I'm coming at this today from an occupational therapy standpoint. I know that a physical therapist would have a lot more to add to the subject, and if I can get a PT on for an interview sometime, we could definitely talk about these things that I'm going over today from their perspective as well. So, first of all, what do I mean when I say weight bearing? I'm not talking about lifting a 5-pound weight over your head or carrying a heavy barbell across the room. What I'm talking about is literally bearing weight through the joints in your body. For example, when an infant pushes up on their forearms from their tummy, that is weight bearing. Sitting up and leaning over on one or both hands for support is also weight bearing. And standing up is another form. All of these activities include using one or more parts of your body to hold the weight of the rest of your body that isn't being supported already. There are many good reasons why weight-bearing activities are good for kids. One is for strength. By pushing their body weight up or holding it for support, they're building strength in the muscles that are doing the work. In therapy terms, we might say the weight-bearing activity facilitates muscle contraction. Secondly, it builds endurance. Endurance and strength are pretty closely related, but with endurance, we are looking at how long they can hold the position before needing to rest. Joint stabilization happens when weight-bearing in certain positions. For example, when an infant starts learning how to push up onto their hands and knees, they're also starting to help the shoulder and hip joints become more stable. This means that all of the muscles, tendons, and ligaments that go around the shoulder and hip joints are figuring out how to work together to keep the joint in the correct position. This is very important for those 2 joint areas because of the type of joints that you find there. They are ball and socket joints, which is where you have a socket or a bone with an indented end that connects with the other bone, which has a ball on the end of it. They fit together and are held together by all of the tendons, ligaments, muscles, and tissues in that area. When they are pushing up on all fours and holding that position, especially when they are first starting to learn this skill, this is the most direct way for them to work on stabilizing that joint and making all of those pieces work together to hold their body in place. Of course, during this activity, they are not only weight-bearing in the shoulder and hip joints, but also the elbows, wrists, hands, fingers, knees, ankles, and feet. However, these other areas are not doing as much of the work as the shoulders and hips in this one position. I want to back up for a second and point out here that when we talk about developmental milestones and the progression of milestones, one of the reasons we do this is because many of these skills we learn tend to come in a sequential order. Not all milestones are set in a specific order, of course, but what I'm thinking about here is that before the infants learn to push up onto their hands and knees, they start with simply lifting their head off the floor during time on their tummy. When they start to hold weight on their forearms, then eventually hold weight on their hands, which at first are usually out wider than their shoulders, then they will bring their hands in closer under their shoulders and push up on their hands with extending or straightening their elbows, so they're able to lift their chest and part of their tummy off the floor now. All of these activities and this progression tend to happen for a reason. They're literally building the strength and endurance for each part of the skill, one activity at a time. It doesn't have to happen in this order, but like I said, it usually does, because as they become stronger, they're able to do more. They're able to push up farther and hold it longer, until eventually they're ready for pushing up on their hands and knees. Of course, I didn't go through the lower body progression to this point, but you can imagine that the same types of things happen with the legs in order to get to the point where they can get up onto their hands and knees for that position. Another reason for weight bearing is to bring awareness to the area that is holding the weight. This is important, for example, for kids who have had some type of maybe trauma or event that has affected one or more of their limbs. Some specific examples would include infants and children who had maybe a brachial plexus injury at birth or cerebral palsy or any other situation similar to these which causes some type of neurological damage and therefore causes loss of or limited function of their arms or legs or both. In situations like these, the weight bearing can and does help with all of the other things that I already mentioned, but it has a slightly different effect when there are issues caused by neurological injuries or events. You can think of it as a way to try and wake up the muscles and the feelings in general of those areas. This is not an issue of strength and endurance in itself, but more of trying to get the nerves in those areas to become stimulated enough to fire and work and tell the muscles to respond and hold the weight or do the work in some way. For this type of weight bearing, we may do things like just placing them in the positions we want to work on putting the weight through. In other words, let's say a child is not putting any weight through one of their legs. When you try to have them stand up, even with you holding them in a standing position, but they maybe can only stand on one leg, or neither of their legs will hold any weight on their feet. We can use things like a stander, which supports their entire leg and body so they can feel the pressure of their own body weight going through their feet and entire legs without having to hold themselves up or even try to hold themselves up. It is very common for infants who have a brachial plexus injury to only push up when on their tummy by using one hand. Brachial plexus is where there is damage to the nerves in their armpit area, basically the area from the neck to under the arm or shoulder space. They could have both arms affected or just one. Again, with this, we work on placing them in position so that they will be able to feel the weight of their body or partial weight of the body going through their hand and all the way up the rest of their arm. This is done with support for their whole arm to keep the elbow straight and to keep their shoulders steady so they don't fall, because depending on the severity of the injury and where they're at in their working, they may or may not be able to hold any of the weight themselves. Anytime you can get active weight bearing, where the child is doing all or at least some of the work to hold themselves steady, this is definitely preferred. They will have a better chance at more progress and hopefully faster progress if they are doing part or all of the work. But if you are doing the work of keeping their arm or leg steady, but they are getting the feeling of the pressure through the limbs, this will also be beneficial to them. The goal is that if they are at this point, that eventually the nerves and muscles and everything in that arm or leg will start to wake up and do a little of the active work at first and then gradually do more and more of the work while you help them less and less as they gain the ability to do it. I don't want to get into the techniques too much, but just to let you know, there are some specific types of exercises or positions that we have kids do that will encourage or help them get the weight bearing in their arms or legs. But I do want to point out that weight bearing activities are a part of typical infant and toddler development. These activities are all natural activities that are part of the developmental milestones that we always talk about. And these are important activities for all babies to do. For infants and toddlers with special needs, or with any type of weakness or maybe low tone for whatever reason, it is even more important that we make sure they are doing these activities. The reason I say this is because if a child has any type of those issues, they could be less likely to do these activities naturally, because the activities that involve lifting or holding their own body weight could be pretty difficult for them. This could put the child behind in their growth and eventually fine motor skills too. As therapists, we understand this completely. This is why we encourage things like tummy time, but not only tummy time, any other position that we might feel would benefit them by bearing weight through their extremities or their arms and legs and their body in general. Most of the time I end up talking about weight-bearing activities from a sensory processing perspective, especially when talking about proprioceptive sensory processing, where I use the term heavy work activities. This can be things like pushing slightly weighted objects across the floor, like a box with a couple of books inside, or something that would give it a little bit of weight, but not too much weight. Again, this isn't meant to be a workout to train them to become bodybuilders or anything like that. The point is for joint compression and joint stabilization to help organize their body. But more to the point of today's show, also to work on some strength and endurance for those who might benefit from it. It is very common in early intervention to use the same activities but with different children and for different reasons. Some kids may benefit from weight bearing for sensory reasons, while others might benefit from the same activity for other reasons, like to bring awareness to that area or to build up some strength in that area. A good example of this is wheelbarrow walking. That's where you hold their legs and they walk on their hands. The purpose of this for kids with proprioceptive needs are to get the joint compressions through their upper extremities, through their whole arm, their hand, including their fingers, wrists, elbows, and shoulders. That input from the weight bearing through their arms provides sensory stimulation, which is helpful for their body to feel organized and calm. For a child who has a neurological incident, such as with cerebral palsy or brachial plexus injury, or other reasons, the wheelbarrow walking activity provides their arms with awareness of the injured arm. The weight bearing of this activity helps wake up the muscles in their arms by stimulating muscle contractions. This helps with awareness or being able to feel their arms, as well as increasing their strength and endurance for holding their body weight as much as they can with your help that's at the appropriate level. Also consider in this scenario that the floor surface can also add some additional stimulation to the palms of their hands. So having them walk on their hands over a variety of different surface textures can also be very stimulating and add to the activity. On the other hand, if their hands are sensitive to certain textures, this could also make them not want to put their palms down on that surface and hold their weight. So these are some things to consider in doing these activities as well. We want to make sure we are doing the ones that will best support them in that moment and help them find ways to be as successful as possible. This is how we will continue to motivate them to try again later today or tomorrow or whenever you do it with them again. I should also say this because in my mind it is understood but not always obvious to everyone else. When I'm talking about having kids do these weight-bearing activities, first of all, I did say in the beginning that these are part of typical development, so most kids are doing these already without any encouragement. However, for those kiddos who need some extra support in getting these things done, we still want to come at it from as natural of a way as possible. In other words, we don't want to make them hold a position only for the purpose of weight-bearing, but without any other reasons. Meaning, find a way to make the activity part of your daily routines whenever possible. Instead of carrying them across the room to get their shoes when it's time to leave, you could have them walk on their hands to get across the room. Or to practice weight-bearing on their tummy after you change their diaper, have them turn over onto their tummy and push up on their hands before you lift them the rest of the way. Or if they are beyond that skill, maybe pushing themselves up to a sitting position by using their hands. Finding little ways throughout the whole day to get these activities in will benefit them the best in the long term. This will give them the most practice and repetition without making therapy time. The reason we have early intervention in your home or in the child's natural environments is because we want parents and any other adults that are around the child frequently to know what to look for and to try to find ways to help them do these things during their regular routines. It's of course fine to add extra times where you are specifically focusing on these activities during your play times or whatever, but even during those moments, you need to find ways to make the activities fun and playful rather than just thinking of them as hard work time. I'm going to end there for today. I also wanted to let you know that next week I will have an interview show with a speech and language pathologist who has many years of experience working with infants and toddlers and young children. So check back next week to listen in on that conversation to hear some excellent tips on ways parents and therapists can encourage communication with kids. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.